Good evening, everyone. Good afternoon, actually, still. The sun's still up. It's good to have you all back again. And I hope that you will enjoy tonight. If you have your Bibles, if you go to Ephesians chapter 6 real quick. Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 12. Do we have it? Amen? Chapter 6 of Ephesians, verse 12. It says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places." So we have a struggle, we have a war, we have battles. Have any of you been in a battle before? A real battle? Have any of you served in the military? I have not. But the closest battle or the closest sense of war in my life came in 2001. It was during the 9/11 incident in New York. I worked nights that at that time. I worked from 5 in the morning to 5, I'm sorry, from 5 in the evening to 5 in the morning. It was a 12-hour shift. So I usually got up pretty late in the afternoon. And I remember that morning I woke up, I got up, I went to brush my teeth and all that. And then before I went to have breakfast, I decided to turn on my computer. And I turned it on and internet came on. And the first thing that I saw was a picture of the smoke coming of the two Twin Towers at that time. And honestly, the thought in my head was, must be another movie coming up. That's the thought. I didn't even think about it. Okay. So I turned it off. I just saw a couple of news, checked my email, and turned it off. Went to my daily routine to have breakfast, to get ready to work. So I head up to work in the afternoon, around 4 o'clock in the afternoon. It took me about an hour to get to my job. And I turn on the radio, and there it was. The Twin Towers were under attack. That's when I confirmed that of what I saw in the morning, the picture was real. I thought it was a movie. And I just could not believe it. So I started hearing the news, and when I got to my job, everyone was talking about it, and then about grounding all the airplanes and having the airport shut down. And we were work right next to Sky Harbor, the airport in Phoenix, Arizona. And it's a huge airport. We have 4 big terminals. At that time, we only had two landing pads. Now we have 4. That tells you how big it is. So it was very busy. You could see easily 8 to 7, sometimes even 9 airplanes in the evening or during the night line up to land. Just one after another. It's huge. And that evening, that night, was complete silence. The only thing that we could hear or see were the F-16s flying around the city all night long. 2 Falcons just rounding the city. They were fully armed as well. And that was the closest I've been to a battle zone. It was shaky for me. Because you used to see those in the air shows. You used to see them in the park, in the airport sometimes. But to see them fly around the city continually, in knowing that they're fully armed, they're on guard, it just makes you think something different. We are in a constant battle in our spiritual lives. And yesterday, as we talked about the apostasy and that the apostasy will come to the church and that we are all in danger to apostasize, because it's possible. And I mentioned that there were several things that we can do to prevent that from happening to our lives? And the first one is assurance of salvation. Abraham Maslow, he is an American psychologist from the early 1900s, I believe, and his biggest contribution to psychology was the pyramid or the hierarchy theory of our needs. So he came up with this idea that all humans have needs, and we get satisfaction of life as long as we fulfill those needs. And this is the pyramid. And first, and we actually, on pyramids, we start from the base. That's number one. The first one, our first needs are physiological. We got to eat. Sorry. We have to breathe. We have to drink water. We have to rest, to sleep. We need sexual lives as well in order to keep on going. The second is safety. We must feel safe. We need to be safe all the time. We need safety in our jobs, in our schools, with our family, in our homes. It's just a need that we all have. The third one is love and belonging. We all need to be loved. We all need to have a place of belonging, family, marriage, children, our workplace, friends. We also need to have a high esteem, how much we think of ourselves, how good we feel. And the last is self-actualization, which means it's just to fulfill in the workplace, to perform, to have beliefs, a set of beliefs, a set of ethics, to have respect for others, and as well to be respected by others. And according to the psychologist, we all have those needs, those five. And also, others have put it as four aspects of life. And there are four aspects of life that they teach us in psychology. And the first one is the physical aspect. We need to grow physically, of course, you know, food and all that, but also mentally. Our brains need to develop. We need to put information into our brains so they develop and they grow. And of course, emotionally, our feelings towards ourselves, towards others. But not too long ago, at the beginning, there were only three, and then they decided to add a fourth one. They find out that we are spiritual people by nature. And probably that's one of the explanations we have for many religions around the world. We are spiritual people. We're looking for someone that is beyond ourselves, for someone that is divine, someone that is powerful, someone to look up to. And, you know, we have, in religions, we call it nirvana. Some other religions, they call it reincarnation. Christians call it heaven. A place to go after we die. We're spiritual. We want to transcend some to the future. We want to keep going. The brain is, I think you all agree with this, the brain is the most important organ in the body because it controls all of the body functions as well as other organs. Will you agree with that? It's the most important organ that we have, the brain. And the mental aspect, we need to, our mental aspect is our intellect, our ability to think and reason. This is how we think. The mental level of our existence consists in thoughts, attitudes, and beliefs and values. Our minds can be our greatest gifts, but at times can be our greatest curse. Our minds can cause us to have terrible confusion, or brings us to profound understanding. Developing the mental level of our being allows us to think clearly, remain openly minded, yet discern intelligently. Our minds enable us to gather knowledge and wisdom from our life experience and from the world around us. So we need to take care of this right here, our brain. It's very important. So it's physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. And from our body, the most important organ is the brain. Do you know what is brain dead? Do you know when we declare somebody that is brain dead? What was that? Oh, I did ask.
Yeah, I just did it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And in order to declare somebody brain dead, it has to be confirmed by two physicians. Because they want to make sure there is absolutely no activity in the brain. And the only thing that is keeping that body alive is the machines who are breathing air into it. But once the brain is dead, everything stops. Everything. Your body completely shuts down. There's no control of temperature. There's no control of heartbeat. There's no control of respiration. It just shuts down. So the brain is clearly important to bodily function, but also in our thought and thinking and beliefs and values. Everything comes through here. Somebody asked the question, is the brain faster than the computer? And they couldn't answer that specifically to say no, but it is a lot slower, but the brain is also doing a lot of things that the computer is not doing. Because while you're solving a math problem, also your brain is looking, hearing, controlling your temperature, your heartbeat, everything that you're doing, your thirst, your hunger. So brains are extremely important, and that's the question that I had for you. How important is our brain? Is it important to protect our brain? How do we protect it? Yeah. So our needs are spiritual, mentally, and safely. And when I look at that and how God has made us people of emotions, physical needs, psychological needs, but also spiritual needs. So in us, by nature, by divine proclamation, we need a sense of security. And not only at home. I mean, why do we buy insurance? Why do we buy health insurance? Does health insurance prevent us from becoming sick? What does it prevent us for? Pain when we become sick. Same thing with auto insurance. Does it make us safer? But it gives us a sensation of being safe if, in case of an accident, we have someone to pay for our medical bills, our car bills. So we need something to be safe, to have a sense of safety, of security. It's in us. And it's the same thing with salvation. We have a need to feel safe. We have a need that there is a better place. There, we have a need that we are going somewhere after we die. We do. It's in us. Like I mentioned before, that's why we created places like Nirvana, reincarnation, and in our myths, we call it heaven. Our Christian beliefs, we call it heaven, a better place to go. So therefore, the question is, what must I do to be saved? And this is a question that you see in Scripture many, many times. When John the Baptist came to his ministry and crowds gathered around him, there were many groups, Jews, tax collectors, even soldiers. And all three groups had the same question. that you said, what shall we do? The tax collector called him, Master, what shall we do? And the Roman soldiers did not want to be left out, say, what about us? What shall we do? Also, to Jesus, and during the food of the 5,000, people came to him and said, Master, teacher, what shall we do? So the works of God work in us. And Jesus said, this is the work of God, that you believe in Him who has sent. Also in Matthew, a young ruler came to Jesus and said, teacher, what good thing should I do to obtain eternal life? I want to be saved. We remember the story, right? Jesus said, obey the commandments. I have obeyed them all since my youth. Okay, you want to be perfect? Sell everything that you have and what? Follow me. Follow me. Also in Acts, during the Pentecostal day, the crowd came and they asked Peter, brethren, what shall we do? Peter said to them, repent and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. What shall we do to be saved? It's in us. We need it. We look for it. Why do you think we have chaplains in all the hospitals? At least in the hospital that I served for over a year as a voluntary chaplain, the nurses were responsible to ask the patients, would you like to see a chaplain? They offered to them. I don't know until now, but all hotels, they usually have a Bible in a drawer. Why? We need it. We look for it. God placed that in us. Another one is the jailer when Paul and Silas were thrown in jail after the earthquake and the singing, and when he was going to take the sword and kill himself, and Paul said, hey, no, we're all here. Don't kill yourself. Don't harm yourself. So he brought them and he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Believe in Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. Salvation. We need to be saved. And if we are in Ephesians, but so Ephesians 6. I'll start reading from verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. 13. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist the evil day. And what is the evil day? What do you think about the evil day? What does it come into your mind, the evil, when we mention the evil day? What image does it comes to you? Yes. I'm asking. It could be, yes, definitely. That will be a good evil day to come. The Great Tribulation. Anything else? That'll be another good day when the evil comes, when you will be judged and see the results of your deeds and see if you stay or you leave. How about every day? Don't we experience evil every day? So how can you stand firm in the evil day? Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist the evil day. And having done everything, what? Stand firm. So it's not just the day of tribulation. It will come and it will be an evil day. Not just towards the end when Jesus is returning, but also every day. And the only way to resist it is to take up the full armor of God. We are in a battle zone. You probably have seen the news of our soldiers going to Iraq or Afghanistan or Korea, right? And they go pretty well. I won't say armor, but they have armor. They go pretty well equipped. Otherwise, they won't be able to stand. They need all that equipment. I serve in an area where we have a military base real close, and many of my members are military retired. Some are still serving. They go on trainings, they go on deployments, they exercise daily to stay in shape. They continually are sent to the field to not to lose the knowledge they have for survival, for tactics. They either send them to the desert in Yuma, Arizona, or 29 Palms in California to train. And they need to be able to wear or the equipment. All of it. And in order for us to resist the evil day, we need to take the full armor of God as well. What do we use to protect our heads? Remember, the head, the brain, is the most important organ of the body. What do we use to protect it? Soldiers wear helmets. Football players wear helmets. I was reading an article, How to Protect Your Head, and this doctor said, don't play sports where you go head-to-head. It makes it obvious. We usually wear helmets. That's why the Word of God says, take the helmet of what? Salvation. You need to have assurance of salvation. Remember, the mind can play tricks on you and can bring doubt in you. Can it? It can. Therefore, you need to constantly remind yourself that you are saved. Look what Paul wrote in Romans 12:1. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship, or your reasonable service. And I can't remember the name of that was the King James. There was another translation, your rational service. Verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, and that which is good and acceptable and what? Perfect. But this is the key word. Renewing of your mind. We need to renew our minds. We need to renew our minds and tell them that we are safe. Because the helmet of salvation represents the assurance of salvation. Dwight Moody, he was a very famous evangelist during his time. And there was a young man who was in the ministry, was getting ready for the ministry. He was in college. And he was, I don't want to say a fan, but he really liked what Pastor Moody did and how he presented his messages. And he knew that he was going to be in Chicago at that time where he was studying. So he made plans to attend to his meetings. And he was thrilled to go and actually see him in person, see him preach and listen to the message. And finally, he was able to catch up with him after the service. And he was even more thrilled because actually Pastor Moody came and sat right next to him. And as they began to talk, the first question that Pastor Moody asked this gentleman was, "Are you a Christian?" And he looked at Moody and, "Well, yes, but sometimes I don't know if I'm a Christian." So Moody looked at him and said, "What do you mean?" "Well, sometimes I think I'm a Christian, sometimes I think I'm not." "Are you a church member?" "Yes." "Are you a Christian?" "I don't know." So he looked at him and he took out his Bible. He went to the Gospel of John and started to ask him questions. "Do you believe in Jesus Christ?" The young man said, "Yes." "Have you accepted his gift of salvation?" "Yes." Then he asked him, "Are you a Christian?" "Well, I don't know." He looked at him again. He grabbed his Bible again and asked him, "Do you believe in Jesus Christ?" "Yes." "Have you asked forgiveness of your sins?" "Yes." "Are you saved by His grace?" "Yes." "Are you a Christian?" "I don't know." Do you see what I'm trying to tell you this evening? Are you a Christian? Are you saved? Are you sure? There was a young slave walking on the road, and this gentleman catch up to him. He was carrying his bag, in his bag, and just walking. And he knew that he was a Christian. And he asked him, "Are you saved?" "Yes, I am saved." "Are you sure?" "Yes, I am sure." "How do you know?" And he kept on walking, and then he just dropped the bag. And he kept walking. And he asked, the young slave asked the other man, "Did I drop my bag?" "Yes." "How do I know that I dropped my bag if I did not turn around and looked?" "Because you felt that the weight of your shoulders, you lost the weight on your shoulders." And he says, "Yes, that's the reason I know that I'm saved. Because the guiltiness of sin is gone." We need to remind ourselves daily that we are saved. We need to renew our minds daily that we are safe in Jesus Christ. That's why the helmet in the armor is very important. The helmet of salvation. The helmet is the thing that protects our brain, our thoughts. Remember, your brain can play tricks. Your brain can bring doubt. Therefore, you need to remind yourself that you are saved. And to have that assurance of salvation. So you can prevent apostasy. So you can prevent exiting the people of God. Amen? Let us stand right now and let us sing again, Onward Christian Soldiers. Hopefully it'll play.
Yeah. Onward Christian Soldiers, marching on to war, where the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, seek his banner go. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. When the cross of Jesus going on before. Like the mighty army moves the church of God. Brothers, we are treading where the saints have trod. We are not divided, all one body we, one in hope and doctrine, one in charity. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to a war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Onward then, ye people, join our happy throng. Ring with us your voices in the triumph song. Glory, love, and honor unto Christ the King. This through countless ages men and angels sing. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to a war, with the cross of Jesus going.
So we are soldiers of Christ and we need to wear the full armor of God. And the first piece is the helmet of salvation. May you always remember that you are safe by His grace and that you will be secure in His blood. Let us pray. Father, thank you for the gift of forgiveness you've given us in the cross. Thank you for sending your Son to reconcile the world with you. Through Him and only through Him, we have salvation. He's the only one that can bring us to a relationship with you. And Father, because of sin, our minds have been
perverted,
have been looking away from you. But Lord, through the Holy Spirit, allow us to renew our minds every day, especially with the thought that we are saved in Jesus Christ, and that our lives and souls and bodies are secure in Him, and that when the evil day comes, we have nothing to fear because Jesus is leading the way. Lord, bless us greatly. Help us to share this assurance with others, with our loved ones, our neighbors, in our church, in our places of work. May this be a blessing that we have. Others can have it as well. And use us as your instruments of salvation and reconciliation with men. Thank you, Lord, for being with us, because we pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.